You know, we all meet or see these couples and say to ourselves, man, they seem to have a great relationship. I'd love to learn a little bit from them. Well, that's what we'd like to do today. Hi, I'm Kurt Bruner, your host, and thanks for listening. Now, contrary to what we might think, those couples aren't that way simply because they got lucky. I guarantee it's because they work at it and that they're intentional about building a God-honoring relationship. Not long ago, my wife Olivia and I sat down for lunch with Heath and Jennifer Hill, and they're one of those couples a lot of people look at and say, man, they seem to really have their act together. And during the conversation, we found out that, you know, they've had their hard times. In fact, early in their marriage, they had some really hard times and went through a transition. But now you look at them and you say, boy, they're intentional about their marriage, they're intentional about their parenting, and I'd love to pick their brain and learn and hear a little bit about how they do that and what it is they practice in their home. Now, I need to apologize because the interview was in a busy, crowded restaurant, and so you're going to hear a lot of background noise. I tell you, but the things they shared were so insightful and so helpful and so encouraging, I think it's going to be worth straining to hear them a little bit. At the start of the conversation, I reminded Heath of something that they do as a couple that protects them both from sexual temptation. You know, they're both busy people, out and about and active, and he's successful in his business. And so, you know, there are temptations out there, but they're very intentional about that. And so I began by mentioning that to Heath so that he could explain a little further. Heath, now one of the things you told me is that you guys make it a point that you won't go on a business trip, you won't travel without first being intimate before you leave.
Right. And I would say she's the leader in that because obviously I'm game 7 days a week.
Yes, he is.
So... she is 100% on board with that, and I think that's the key, you know, is her initiating it, her holding that.
Understanding it.
Yeah, and keeping that at the forefront and the top, no matter how inconvenient it is. Last time I traveled, she was deathly ill, and it still all worked out. So, I mean, it's just that level of commitment to each other, I think.
But God also made me highly competitive. And because we're so open in conversation, he tells me what's out there in the world as far as men go. I'm not going to allow that to happen.
Right. It's a principle for our family that works. But like we shared, I've also made a commitment to watch what I would call my eye gate. I don't let anything through. So she is my only outlet, my only point of passion, period. So for that to stay that way, and it's been that way for 7 years, I think less than 1% of women really understand that. You know?
This is a good pointer for men. He does a wonderful job of making me feel desired strongly. And so spontaneity is easy when you feel like he finds me sexy. You know what I mean? That means a lot. And I think a lot of men in the world maybe they don't realize they're not doing that for their wives. Therefore, they're not having any, you know,
it's two-sided.
Yeah, but I don't sit around watching football on the couch
hoping
it all works out. I'm doing dishes, picking up, asking her how I can make her life easier, you know. And to increase my chances even more, I know what her need is. And as a guy, it's extremely difficult to meet it as a man, just in the flesh. So,
affirmation.
I need show me those moments that I can, you know, send a text that she'll receive, or just, you know, a little note or a flower or whatever, just to kind of connect with her.
In a lot of marriages, maybe he has never once cared that she even has needs, or maybe he does sit on the couch all the time. Maybe she's the one that said, hey, I think we need to get into church because we have kids now. Yeah. You know what? If he's waking up going to church without a fight, that's a reason to give him that little bit of, let him start leading. Because so many men in our lives that we've become friends with, they feel squandered and squashed. We have a friend that told his wife, you chop a tree long enough, it's going to fall. And I think a lot of women don't realize they're rah, 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 more than they need to be. Whereas if he, at one point, she was very much in love with this man. So go back to that and give him, if he shows one little glimpse of that want to take his life one little step forward, then she's got to take that step back and let him do that.
You're in my heart and my eyes. If the truth be told, I tell you no lies. You're so close yet so close.
can't be right horizontally with your spouse if you're not right vertically with God. And it's a direct reflection. And that, to me, was the aha moment in Christianity when God revealed to me that if I'm going to be obedient to God, I've got to completely meet her needs and have a solid marriage. And that was hard because I would see the dishes and I would want to gripe about why they're not being done. And God's not interested in that. He's not interested in that prayer about getting my wife to do the dishes. He's interested in me taking care of the dishes and freeing up time. And then the reality is later she comes back and starts doing the dishes. But it was a servant's heart. And I would go do the dishes saying, you know what, I'm going to do this for God, not my wife. Because I didn't like my wife at that moment because she wasn't doing the dishes. But if I could take it off her and put it back to God and say, you know what, I'm going to serve her because I want to serve you. And it just gave me the perspective to get over my flesh, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's it.
Because
that is the key.
Everything's... We call it the sin cycle or the marriage cycle. So if he would do this, then I would do that. You know, or if she would, and that's foolish because the reality is if I'll just do this, she will do that. Like, I think we left all the weapons several years back down, and when things happen, we don't pick those weapons up. She doesn't pick up the sex weapon no matter what offense I've committed her. Doesn't mean she's not going to want to talk about her, hold me accountable, or even get upset, but she's not going to use these weapons, and I'm not ever going to cross the line and call her some derogatory name or, you know, say something that would hurt her intentionally, because I'm not going to use that weapon that we used early in our marriage when we thought that was just
how you did things.
Normal. Yeah.
Like, I got to back this up, though. You said the last 7 years. You've been married how long?
12. Yeah, and even in the radical change, there was a 2-year adjustment before I really feel like we became truly connected.
Me receiving all his attention was new.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't used to having him need me all that much, you know? And I know now he was meeting his needs just with his eyes all over the place, which I had no idea.
But I think, you know, the whole scripture, and we just gloss over it, nobody even really focuses on it, but when God talks about how he'll renew our mind, and I really experienced that, because in that life-changing event, that day I didn't get a renewed mind, but over that next 2-year period, God renewed and restored my mind to purity and to a way that I could go into church and close my eyes and be in prayer and not have all these images in my mind. And he connected us in a way that I never thought our sex life could be that good and that fulfilling and that intimate. And I try to explain that to guys. I'm like, you're chasing things. If you have open doors and you've got sin in your life, you can't have the full experience of God. Don't you think he knows more than you?
And yeah.
It doesn't make sense. But I remember in our first 5 years, it was never sufficient. It was never
enough.
Wild enough. It was never fun enough. It was just, it was torment for me, and it was mental bondage and warfare just daily. And now she is sufficient. Like, she is everything I need. She is
let's just stop right there. Okay, that's,
I mean, really,
we don't need more detail.
So we have couples all the time say, but I'm spiritual now and I'm leading now and she's not or he's not. And I'm like, how long you been doing this? Well, 4 weeks. And I'm like, email me. I don't have time to even talk about it. I'm reading my Bible now, so I don't understand why I didn't, you know.
Why isn't all perfect now?
Right, right. And that was 2 years. That wasn't like, and she was more spiritual than I ever thought of being from day one. It's not like she was a pagan.
It was very, that is a great point. I forgot about the adjustment that was, but it was a huge adjustment.
As the conversation continued, we learned that Heath and Jen are also pretty intentional about parenting. So they described kind of their faith at home habits, part of which includes a kit that you'll hear Heath refer to, where they get idea recipe cards, and that kit is called Just Add Family. That's something our ministry makes available if you're interested. But let's listen to them as they describe their routine regarding making sure that they have faith conversations in the home and that they're building the relationship with the kids that they want.
So we definitely have meal time together, minimum of 4 nights a week. And we definitely think that's critical. I mean, I think that's one of the most important times. But we also do family nights, which we absolutely love and the kids love. A lot of times we'll go do activities. We're big, and come Monday, I want to have something to show for the weekend with my family, some kind of activity that I can look back and say, that's how I invested my time and my resources in.
One thing that I have really gathered, especially in this last few years, is I'll be talking to people and I'll say, last night at dinner we played this game where we all went around and said, for Valentine's Day is a good example, everybody had to say 3 things they really loved about everybody at the table. And I was telling, I mean, at my school that I work at, I was telling some people we did that, and they are all looking at me like, what? Y'all really did that? And I went, yes, we did. And it was really fun. And it was so neat to hear some of the things the kids said that we didn't even realize they were picking up on.
So that would be a prime example of reaching out to God, saying, what's something I can do to bless my wife, right? Because she couldn't even tell you what I got her last Valentine's. Yet this Valentine's, on an airplane, I was asking God, what can I do? And when I landed, I told Hayes, go get your 4-year-old brother. Y'all get prepared, because tonight when I come home, we're going to play this new game I came up with. And you're going to tell the 3 things that you love about mommy, that you love about your brother, that you love about your daddy, and so that they would be prepared. So the really only person that didn't know this was going on was mommy. So when we sat down, you know, we started the activity or the game, and the reality is a year from now she will remember that, right?
The gift, remember what my kids said most.
Right, has already come and gone, and I'm like, it was pretty easy. Yeah. The hard part for me was slowing down long enough just to, for God to maybe give me an idea that really wasn't even that genius to begin with. It's pretty basic, you know. But it was really an awesome time because they were really into it, and they said things that were just, we were just like melting. I mean, really.
The 9-year-old had a lot of insightful, honest truth. There have been times where I've thought, you know, I am a busy woman. I do a lot. The kids are never seem neglected, and they're always with us when we do things. And Hayes, one of the things he said is, my mommy always does everything 100%, and she makes everything wonderful and perfect, and she tries so hard for me. And so just by him saying, he's a 9-year-old. Yeah. He's not trying to please anybody. In there. I mean, and they're honest. And so just him being able to say that really meant the world. Yes.
Well, they're absolute, this sounds cliche, but they're absolute favorite thing we do is when we use a recipe card. I mean, hands down, period, any one of them. I mean, there's a lot of them, but my absolute favorite is the one for Halloween.
Yes.
Because I already don't enjoy that holiday. Yeah. And it's hard, as, you know, when I was 10, I dressed up as the devil, so I clearly embraced the holiday as a youth. And now it's hard to find that balance of not acknowledging that it's there, but how can we glorify God on such a holiday like that? So I've got a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old, and we start carving a pumpkin, and we talk about sin and taking out all the yucky stuff, and basically it just line by line tells you exactly what to do and what to say. And you think it would be weird having this little note card reading it off. You don't have to memorize it. Nobody cares that you're reading it. And I think that's the part as the dad that's cool, is that I still get the credit, you know, or she gets the credit of doing it, yet all we're doing is reading off what the card says to do. The kids don't see it that way, though. It was just taking that extra 5% to put the word intentional around it.
Yeah.
We already eat dinner. We were already going to carve a pumpkin. You know, but if you do it once, you've already got your money back.
Yeah.
If you do it twice, you've impacted your family. If you do it 3 times, your kids will remember it forever. And it's just a pattern. as a guy in business that's fast-paced, I would physically, whatever that the baby step, I can give some examples, I would write it down, I'd put it on the calendar as the exact day I'm going to do it. So, for example, baby step would be, today is Thursday, on Friday I'm going to send my wife a text at 10 a.m. that just thanks her for taking care of the house this week. That would be a very basic baby step, but it would be intentional. And if you don't write it down, the probabilities of you doing it are slim to zero. So don't feel like you're taken away from it, because she ain't going to know you wrote it down. Because you ever heard that fake it till you make it?
Yeah. That is a quote in our household.
We believe that. Like, so if you're, God will always honor and bless obedience. So if you can get lined up with God and you start being obedient, He will start to give you those urges to do those kind of things, where they will truly become spontaneous and not scheduled. But if you don't start with the schedule, it ain't ever going to happen.
Now, a lot of our answers have been, you know, perfect scenarios. So
yeah.
Make sure and put that disclaimer, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's no such thing as a perfect family. And Heath and Jen have mess up moments just like the rest of us. But what I so appreciated about talking to them is just listening to a couple, an average couple, that's trying their best to be intentional about creating a great marriage and family dynamic. And in the process, they're becoming a picture, as every family is intended to be, a picture of the gospel itself. And that's what it's all about. I hope you'll take advantage of the tools we make available to help you become more intentional in your home. So stop by our campus center before or after services this weekend, or visit us online, and we'll see you soon.